Colossians chapter 1 in a King James is where you usually go to prove the NIV and other translations wrong. Look with me in verse 12. He said, giving thanks, Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And of course, the NIV leaves the through his blood out of it. And in verse 13, you cannot have the delivery without the blood of 14. And that's the reason. Because in Ephesians chapter 1, it will leave the blood in a NIV, but it'll take it out in Colossians 1:14. And the purpose is change the whole entire verse. I believe it'll read, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, and it'll leave through his blood out. Well, there's a reason, because there's no translation. There's no way to be redeemed without the blood. There's no way. And is it clear that in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption, the word have, what does that mean? You possess it. Alright? You find it in Colossians 1:13, the word half. What does that mean? It's already done. So, what has he already done about darkness? Already delivered. What about translated? It's already done, right? The word half is those two halves in that verse is the truth that Paul preaches to the Colossians. Okay? Now look in 15. Who is the image? Now I want to go back to verse 14. Who? 13. The kingdom of his who? So does the Son have a kingdom? Alright. Now, we refer to God's kingdom as an everlasting kingdom. Okay? But we also know that there is a 1,000-year kingdom in the book of Revelation chapter 20, and it comes after the 7 years of tribulation. Okay? The 7 years of tribulation brings in this kingdom. Alright? Now, to get into that kingdom in accordance with the book of Revelation, according to over here the teaching of Matthew 24, 13 and 14, what would a person have to do? He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. So, we know that this represents the end of the prophetic time, prophecy. So, the gospel of the kingdom is, he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved, right? Paul says that we're already translated. Is that what you read? So it's not a matter of having to endure the tribulation. People say, how do you prove that you're not going through the tribulation? Well, you just read one of the verses. Are you already translated? All right, now go back to Ephesians and watch. Ephesians chapter 4 and Ephesians 1, compare these. What I want to talk to you about is God. Jealous is his name. And that is his name, Jealous. In Ephesians chapter 1, look with me in verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom, that's the beloved, in whom we have what's half. Now see, we were looking at words like half and on. What does the word shall mean? It's coming. Okay? In this verse, it says, in whom we have redemption. So, when the Lord was raised from the dead, this is not part of the message of a physical kingdom. It is a cause of rejecting the kingdom that he must be raised from the dead. Well, he is there on earth, and while he's on earth, can they have their kingdom? What did John preach? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I know this is the kingdom of heaven. It's a 1,000-year physical kingdom. There are people alive in it, folks, that never died. Okay? He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Kobe asked me, what was John's baptism about? He was making manifest Jesus to Israel. That's his baptism. He was making a path straight to the Lord. If they got baptized, they'd see the Lord. They'd understand. But they wouldn't. The nation of Israel wouldn't do it as a whole. All right? Jesus then in Matthew 4 says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What was at hand? So this kingdom here could have been here. You with me? But if you kill the king, the kingdom goes away. The king was killed, right? So the offer, listen, the offer of the kingdom of heaven stops. Say yes, no? Now if it stops, why do the churches continually teach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? That's the offer of the kingdom. They're denying the word hath and have, which are the dispensation of grace. They're denying it. And the reason they're denying it is the will of God in this dispensation is for you to know that you have and have. Now read again, Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption, how? Not through Him flesh. Jesus Christ over here is flesh. Over here, He shed blood. And the blood right here is applied to the church, which is His body, that you will not have to go through the tribulation. You have that translation. And the truth is, do we or do we not have redemption? Read it again. In whom we have redemption through His blood, what? Then here is the forgiveness, and it only comes when the blood is offered for the translation and redemption. Say. Now, the devil knows this. So he reaches here and teaches this with Acts chapter 2. Peter said to the whole nation of Israel, repent. What did they do? They rejected kingdom. If they were to repent, what would happen? Turn to Acts chapter 3. Hold on to Ephesians. Turn to Acts 3. You don't have to be a scholar to understand this. You've got to be a believer. In Acts chapter 3, scholars don't get it anyway. Now watch, in Acts chapter 3, Peter preaches in verse 16. Let's go back to verse 14. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder be granted unto you. Who did they take, Barabbas or Jesus? He just told you what Barabbas is. He's a murderer. Somebody said one time, do you know what Barabbas did? And I said, yeah, he's a murderer. How do you know? Well, I just said so. Didn't it? Okay. And killed the Prince of Life. What was Jesus Christ? Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. So standing before the nation of Israel at the day of Pentecost, who was standing before them? Witnesses. What did they witness? The resurrection. Okay? Now, verse 16. And His name, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong. And they're talking about the man that was healed. Whom you see and know, whom, yea, the faith which by Him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of y'all. And now, brethren, I wrought that you, through ignorance, through ignorance, you did it as did also your rulers. In other words, did they have the possibilities of many signs and wonders of knowing who Jesus Christ was? Said, I and the children whom the Lord had given for signs and wonders in Israel, was His birth for them? It wasn't for you folks. The birth was a sign to Israel. The resurrection was a sign to Israel. What did He say? One last sign will be given to an adulterous generation. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. If He comes up, it's a sign. See what I mean? Okay? Verse 18. But those things which God before has shown by the mouth of all His prophets that Christ should suffer, He has so fulfilled. It wasn't a matter that it wasn't in Scripture He would suffer. The matter was, why? Why would you want your king to suffer and die? What does that usually mean to your kingdom? So, think, if you got a king, and you got a kingdom, if an enemy comes in and kills your king, what do you got? You lost your kingdom. Right? Why did Saul, king of Israel in the Old Testament, why did the devil want him to be like he was? Failure of God's people. But who showed up? David. Saul would not do the will of God, David would. And so God chose David to replace Saul. Alright? Jesus Christ on earth, what can be set up? Why did the devil want him to be killed? In the kingdom. Alright? It is prophesied he'll suffer and die. What is not known is why? How could God use this so-called failure? It looks like a failure, doesn't it? It looks like God's Son came in the world and the devil defeated Him. Isn't that what it looks like? If the kingdom didn't work out, you mean God couldn't set the kingdom up? God couldn't change Israel? He couldn't do it? No! He let them do it. Because He's got you and I in mind. Folks, I miss you. How long is this kingdom right here? Tell me the date when Jesus Christ was crucified. Is this B.C.? Before Christ's birth? Is this A.D.? Okay? In A.D. 33, after His birth, He died, right? Add 1,000 to that. Come on, you math majors. Give me 1,033 years. 1,033. What year are you living in? Well, what's 2010 minus, what? How much is that? Almost a millennial. Right? Explain it. Take the book and explain the 900 that people have lived in. Explain it by what we're living in without Paul. You can't. You see, if he'd have set the kingdom up here, how long would it have went? While he was on earth. Let's say at 30 years old, isn't that when his ministry began? Let's go back and see if I can get something over to you. Matthew 21. I don't know if I want to use that one. There's another one if I can find it. I'm kind of getting off the subject. Let's go back. Think about this first. How old is he when he gets baptized, approximately? about 30 years old, and for 3.5 years he had a ministry. What was that ministry? He was training 12 men, because he's going away. He knows that. But what was he offering? Matthew, let me better. Turn to Matthew. Can you tell me what happened in the first part of Matthew 4? What led him up to the mountain? Okay? I feel like I'm failing. I want you to understand these things and the progression of the way they happen. In Matthew 3, what happened? And what did John do to Jesus? And then what did God the Father say when he came out of the water and something descended? Okay, that's Matthew 3. Matthew 4, then what happens? He has the Spirit. What leads him? Matthew 4 said, look at verse 1, then was Jesus led up. Is that a capital S? Mine is. And there's a reason for it. It's the Holy Spirit. Into the wilderness to be tempted of who? Now watch. Why? Why did he be tempted? To be holy and without blame. If he succumbs to the devil, then there's not a worthiness, is there? It says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of who? This is a face-on fight, folks. This is face-on. The God of this world, the God of everything. Face-on. Face-to-face, dealing with the Word of God itself. Okay? Now, what happens in the three temptations? Who won? The Word of God. Right? Matthew 4, verse 17. Do you see the words from that time? Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for what is at hand? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay? What's taught after Matthew 4? Yeah, the Baptist attitudes. He ain't offering that to Baptists. He's offering that to Israel. Right? Now, in so doing, at 30 years old, what can they do? They can repent, and what's at hand? If they will repent and be baptized, that's what it says, repent and be baptized, then what can they have? Where does that leave you? You see, where does that leave you, period? Because how long is His kingdom? It's 1,000 years. That didn't change, folks, just because God inserted the kingdom of the grace and the kingdom of His dear Son being offered freely. That did not change what's coming. It just took time and showed you what it was. God reached out in the future. Looked at Harold Gaines chasing his bulls. And said, it'll be all right. Because one day you're going to leave them bulls. Because I've translated you in the kingdom of my dear Son. You're not going to have to see the tribulation. Why? You don't have to endure unto the end to be saved, right? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Are you okay? You're looking at me like I lost my mind. I have, but 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now watch this. What's the difference between are and shall? Let's say shall and are. Is there any difference? Powerful difference, right? What would you know to be in this life? I'd rather be I are rich or I shall be. Terrible phraseology. Hey, James Turner was asked time the interviewer said, let me ask you something. You were poor and then you're rich. Which one do you like better? He says, what a dumb question. Would you rather be rich now or would you rather wait to be rich? Well, of course, you'd like to have it now, wouldn't you? I always thought it'd be great if you could retire when you're young and work when you get old. But they give you all the money of the retirement early, so you spend it all and then work the rest of your life and die with your boots on. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be none effect. Why would God not send Paul to baptize? Won't you hold there, go to Matthew, the Great Commission. Let's go to Mark 16 first. See, our God's got plans, and He only tells them to who He wants to tell it to. In Mark 16, 15, and He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized, read with me the next three words. Say that again. Shall be saved. All right. Now, if I go back to 1 Corinthians, it said, verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize. Correct? So what do I know? What can I put in the bank about Paul? Okay? Now, there must be a reason for this. He said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but preach the gospel, not with wisdom words, lest the cross of Christ be made none effect. There's a cross involved in this. A cross-involved message that if the wisdom of words are involved, it'll make it of none effect. Correct? Okay. Verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us, next three words, which are saved. What's the difference between shall and are? Okay? Now, go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and compare this. I look out there and Harold Pace sitting back there looks weird to me. Somebody's out of place here. Alright, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are. What are you sealed for and unto? So is there a day of redemption? R.J. Panama City has a pawn shop, and he gives you a redemptive ticket when you go in there and pawn your equipment, and he's in great hopes you don't come back. Or, if you come back, he gets interest. So either way, he wins. 20 or 30% interest. So if you come back and pay back, he got that interest. He didn't have to do anything. He just lets you have some money for a while. But if you don't come back, he sells that piece of property for more money, or that piece of item and whatever, for more money, and he wins that way. So, it's a no-win situation, or no-lose situation, and for you, all you're doing is getting a little bit of money to use, and then you got to pay back more than you had. People don't think about that because they want the ready cash in their hands. They want that are rich at that moment. But it is a situation just like the credit cards. The credit cards look good. Oh, my gosh, I've got $5,000 credit. And you go out there, and then, boom, the first bill comes in. And I got a notice on, I was reading, they changed all those things, and I was looking at the changes, and it gave figures, and the figures that it gives rates, And you can owe as little as $5,000, and if you pay minimum payment, it takes you 23 years to pay it off. And the government let them do that. We the people, you know. The government could have controlled that, and they didn't care. Thus, you can't go down to a bank and get a small loan because they want you to use a credit card. Why? There's big money in that. Interest. And it's the same with buying a house. How much interest do you pay on a house if you make all the payments for 30 years? I mean, it'll double, triple, quadruple what the house was originally sold for. And they say, wonder why they're upside down. Well, it's easy to get upside down with the loaning capabilities of these characters. And car dealers, they do it the same way. I'll get you out of debt. We'll give you so much your car and hack on everything else. When you get done and you sign the paper, you find out how much money you're in debt for. It's scary because you're going to be paying for the next 7 years. And for the first 5.5 years, you didn't touch the principal. Then all of a sudden, the principal comes in. They run ads for no money down and don't pay anything but a small minimum payment for 3 years. But watch out when that third year comes in, because then they kick the lump. And when the lump comes, it hurts. What a fine thing to do. They were looking out for our interest, I'm sure. Our interest money. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, what did he say we're sealed unto? Well, why is there a needed day of redemption? 1 Thessalonians. Folks, I'm just trying to show you that God, a jealous God, grabbed some people here with the redemptive power of the blood. And he don't want nobody messing with them. And people are being messed with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the truth of God, but you cannot apply it today because then you make it into a lie. It will not serve. You cannot get down and pray and move a mountain two or three holding the hands. Why? It's not for us. It's not that God doesn't have the ability. Well, folks, I'd love for you to come up here and heal my knee or anybody in here that's hurting, heal you, whatever. That is not God's purpose. If God wants to heal you, He will heal you, but it ain't assigned to Israel any longer. Israel's not in the picture except the elect people, and they're not considered Israel, they're considered the world. And everybody in this world can be saved if they'll trust the fact that Jesus Christ died for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day. The simple truth of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Now watch, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. By whose word? Word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord should not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Rise from the sleep. Why? It said they're asleep in Christ. Okay? Then we which are alive and remain. Remain where? We're here. Right now. It can happen right now, folks. If you're not ready for this, you're in trouble. You have no guarantee when God's going to call in His ticket. That redemptive ticket can be called at any second. My beloved brother went to be with the Lord, for his ticket was called. He was asleep in the Lord. I looked at his body once. The casket was open. That wasn't who I knew. That was a bag of dirt. The intelligence and the spirit and leadership of the Lord was gone. It was just an old vessel that held that soul that was willing to preach. And that's why his voice tore me up. I heard that voice so many times in my life. The shell was ornery. The voice wasn't. The voice let the power of God work. The shell, just ornery. Just like we all are. We're all vile. We do our will as much as possible. And we fight God all the time. But the voice that we can preach, if it's the Word of God rightly divided, will bring forth truth. The power of God is the gospel, folks, not me. And it wasn't Brother Moore. Brother Moore never saved nobody in his life. And you know what's amazing? People never think about it, and they get encased into this. Another man showed him rightly dividing. A man with short pants called Shepherd. Brother Moore used to tell me, we'd sit in the studio, and he said, I would go out at Brooklyn Field, and they had dining tables outside from the aircraft hangar where he worked, and he said, I'd go over here as far as I could, and here come that dude. And that he'd come running up to me, and he had them short, long legs, short breeches on them long legs. Hey, Brother Moore, have you ever considered? You see, Brother Moore didn't start rightly dividing. He believed it. But Shepherd believed it before he did. And you know what? I believed it before some people did, and a lot of people believed it before I did. It is not a matter of you have something and you're just a world leader. It's a matter of, are you willing to share what was shared with you? It's a sharing process, folks. Paul shared a fact here, verse 16, for the Lord Himself. Hold on to that, turn to Matthew. Let's see if we can, if we're getting the difference between baptism, if we're getting the difference between shall and are, if we're getting the difference, look at this. In Matthew 25. And it don't matter, it don't miss 24, but I just want to read 25 first. Matthew 25:31. Alright. When the Son of Man shall come in what? Now, remind me of that just a second. In His glory, and all His holy angels with Him. There's prophecy in this verse. Who's coming with Him here? But what's the end? We are His glory. Are we not? Now you keep that in mind for just a second. Let's read this on. And somebody remind me, lost my chain of thought on this, trying to remember what I got to remember. Is that retarded? It's probably retarded, isn't it? At least I haven't got my glasses on. I'll be looking for them. All right. Back in 31, when the Son of Man should come in all His glory, and all His holy angels, somebody remind me, 1 Thessalonians, just a minute, and Romans. Don't let me forget. All right. And all His holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. All right. What do we think when He sits on the throne of glory? What's involved? When you sit on the throne, what are you? Then what is there with the king? A kingdom. All right, now what brought it in the verse? It's two things. What brought it in? He comes in all His with. Okay, go back to 1 Thessalonians. Let's see if there's any difference in Paul's writings. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. What is the first four words? Towards the angels. Now, why are the angels not with Him in accordance with Matthew 25? Everybody, look up here. Go. Shake it up. Okay. Why are the holy angels with Him in Matthew 25? You mentioned the first part of the verse. In all His glory. Correct? Then what's with Him? And why are they with Him at that time? He's in all His glory. Say yes? Okay. Say what?
Let's see. Mark, come up with a KFC special.
Okay.
1 Thessalonians 4:16. Now watch. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And there with him, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, absent from the body, present with the Lord. They're being woke up. They're asleep. Okay? But now what happens in 17? Must be the day of redemption. Okay? Now, the day of redemption is going to bring together the believers. Right? Now, to bring together the believers with the Lord, there's no need the angels be with him at that time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? Okay? Verse, chapter 3, verse 13. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say it out loud. At the coming of the Lord, who must be with him? And that would be his glory. Now what did Matthew 24 say? Again, 25 again. Coming in all His glory and His holy angels. Are you with me? There's a progression of happenings that have to happen to bring in that second coming. The second coming, will He be in all His glory? Will He sit upon the throne of His glory? Kingdom. What comes with him at the second coming? All his holy angels. And they will gather from east, west, north, and south, Israel and the believers. Not the body. What brings the body leaving? The Lord himself. Correct? Did those here go nuts, or did you just read them words? Yes, I did. The Lord himself shall descend. The dead in Christ have risen and are coming with him. Why? They'll always be with the Lord. Furthermore, we'll always, are you listening? We'll always be with the Lord. Every saint that's died from the time that Paul preached in him first will be with the Lord. He'll awaken them. We which are alive and remain shall what? Be caught up together in here to meet them. Okay? Now, if we meet them, what happens? Chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. What's together? Okay? Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and then, just read it with me, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. How long is the kingdom? What is forever? Now here's your choice. Try to get the 1,000 or take forever now. What a choice. Here's your sign. Are you all right, folks? Now, how does that come about? Because we're dead to sin. And this tribulation is the time when the man of sin is trying to keep them from enduring to the end. We do not see the end. We are already translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. We have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Acts 3:19. One more time, I'll shut up. Is everybody okay? In Acts 3. Folks, all you have to do is compare the words just very simply out of a simple person like me. You can even see it through me. In Acts 3, verse 18, God called a simple man, me. And I never understood why until I understood one thing. I believe. I believe, folks. And you know what? You ain't got nothing I want. I don't even want Fielding's Road King. I don't want nothing you got, folks. If something of yours comes my way, it's of God and nothing else. You cannot buy me. I don't want to be bought. My mentor taught me that. You can't buy me. And I saw a man die in the Lord that wanted to. Why can't I? Folks, we got to believe. And you know what? It's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing to believe. Now watch. Acts 3:19. Repent you therefore. What did Israel have to repent of? They killed the Messiah. But what had God done? He raised Him from the dead. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be what? When? Then right here is where their sins are blotted out. Then the cross ain't their message. It's yours. Now think. Why is the preaching of the cross foolishness to them to perish? Because they're following the kingdom message. And the kingdom message says you got to do this and do that and keep up with this and repent and confess and do all that. Because you see, Hebrews through Revelation is the kingdom message. And that's what people follow. Is everybody okay?